Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and welcome to In the Field, a weekly podcast by IB Times UK. Each week, we speak to journalists, activists, and aid workers who are at the heart of the global stories that matter. This week, we turn to the tiny West African nation of the Gambia, which made the news back in December when its leader, Yahya Jammeh, did something fairly unprecedented for an authoritarian African dictator. He lost an election, and then he agreed to accept the result and stand down. Jammeh congratulated Adama Barrow, a businessman and former London security guard, and wished him well. A peaceful democratic transition in Africa, it all seemed a bit too good to be true, and so it proved when just a few days later, Jammeh reversed his decision. Suffice it to say that his U-turn didn't go down well, prompting the Gambia's neighbour, Senegal, to threaten military action if Jammeh didn't stand down. The head of the Gambian military, meanwhile, said that they would not fight Senegalese soldiers if they entered the country. Holed up in the Gambian consulate in Dakar, Barrow was sworn in as president, and soon after, Jammeh left for Equatorial Guinea, reportedly cleaning out the country's coffers of over $10 million and shipping his luxury cars out of the country. Barrow remains in Dakar, and our reporter, Ludovica Yacino, is there. She is joined by Gambian journalist Saini M.K. Marena, who was forced to flee Gambia 2 years ago for Senegal after he was accused of promoting false news. Okay, so I'm here with Ludovica, our reporter who's on the ground in Senegal. Ludo, can you tell us a little bit about what's going on? I know Adama Barrow is still in the country. When's he expected to be heading back to the Gambia?
So at the moment, it's not clear. It seems like he's likely to go maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. However, he hasn't made any official statement yet, so we're all waiting for more information. His top advisor, Mr. Fati, told me yesterday that the leader is eager to go back home as soon as possible. So we're thinking maybe this week.
So why is he waiting so long, given that the previous guy has left now?
So, I mean, he's in Dakar at the moment and he's quite busy because he's due to elect his new cabinet. He's working with Senegalese officials and aid organizations to repatriate thousands of Gambians. And yesterday it emerged that new West African troops advanced in Banjul to make sure the situation is completely safe for Barrow to go back to the country. So he's probably waiting until troops give him the go-ahead.
And I mean, when we're talking about safety, we mean presumably from like Jammeh loyalists, people who don't want Barrow to take over.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I've been speaking to lots of people, lots of Gambians, you know, who fled in the past few weeks, and they are all saying that, you know, they are very happy that Jammeh has left the country, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the country is completely safe because there are, you know, loyalists that are still in the country and they haven't been held accountable for what they did, you know, in the past 22 years. So it's quite, you know, complicated.
And for those readers that don't know much about this part of West Africa, the thousands of Gambians that are currently in Senegal, why did they leave? What kind of country were they leaving?
Okay, so there is a distinction here to make. There are Gambian expats and Gambian refugees. So the Gambian expats are those who have been living here for, yeah, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 years, and they all fled the Gambia fearing for the safety. These people are activists, politicians, journalists like Sine, who's here with me today, and they all left their families back in the Gambia and relocated to Senegal because they felt it was safer. The refugees are those who fled in the past few weeks because when Jammeh announced he was not going to step down, they thought, you know, that the political crisis was going to escalate into a violent repression. So they fled en masse into Senegal. And, I mean, Senegal has been the number one destination for Gambians for decades. So, it's, you know, it's the country that pretty much surrounds the Gambia, so it's the first destination.
And why do these the refugees that have left in the last few days? Is it a tribal thing? Is like Jammeh's tribe and Barrow's tribe different, and that's why they were fearing reprisals, or were they just scared of a war breaking out generally?
There are ethnic tensions in the country, and Jammeh has been often accused of, you know, promoting hate speech and even sparking sort of ethnic violence. But the main reason why the Gambians fled this time, it was because they were scared that a war could break in the country.
Right, I see. Because from the very early on, it seemed like that the army in Gambia weren't going to back Jammeh anyway, because they said that, you know, they were going to respect the results of the election, which is strange, actually, in a West African country.
Yes, I mean, this whole story is incredible because you have, I mean, at the end, Jammeh had no one backing him. And the army at the beginning, it was a bit confusing because the army at the beginning said they pledged alliance to Barrow. Then for a brief moment, they said that they were going to follow Jammeh. And then once again, they said that no, they were not going to fight West African troops that had entered the country to forcibly remove Jammeh. But, you know, this is quite incredible because they have managed to resolve the issue peacefully.
And tell me, you're in Dakar now, obviously. Senegal is presumably a very big player in the Gambia because it surrounds it. But are people on the streets of Dakar, are they talking about what's going on in the Gambia?
Yes, I mean, I have been, you know, taking cabs every day now for the past 2 days, and I could hear on the radio that, you know, it's all about Adama Barrow and all about Jammeh and all about Senegal and Gambia relations and Senegalese troops in the Gambia. And, you know, people also on the streets are very much involved. And, you know, the streets of Dakar are full with Gambian refugees at the moment. It's not just people on the border, it's people who also have traveled all the way to Dakar.
And where are they all living? Where are they all sleeping?
So because, you know, there are lots of Gambian expats in the country, there are people who have relatives and friends. So if they're lucky, they can stay, you know, with these people. I have met, unfortunately, people who have also been living on the street, and people who have, you know, who have been living in temporary shelters.
And are they expecting to stay long term, or are they hoping to go back in the next few days?
Okay, mixed feelings here. Everyone is happy that Jammeh is gone, and everyone thinks the Gambia is on the right way towards democracy and, you know, and peace and respect for human rights. However, you know, rightly so, I would say, some people have pointed out that because their leader Barrow is still in Dakar, they don't feel that it's safe enough for them to return. However, there are thousands of people, you know, who were stranded at the border have, you know, made their way back. And Mr. Fatty, Adama Barrow's top advisor, told me yesterday that they think in the next 3 or 4 days, they're hoping to repatriate all the Gambians who were fled in the past 2 weeks.
I mean, you've covered Africa a lot. You cover Rwanda, you cover other countries where succession is a very big issue. It's quite fascinating, really, in this case, that it has been almost, I mean, touch wood, almost a peaceful transition of power in a country from dictatorship to democracy. I mean, that's very rare for Africa.
Yes, it is very rare. It is fascinating. I think we are witnessing history here, and not just for the Gambia, but for West Africa and Africa in general. That's what everyone keeps saying. that, you know, this is an example for other leaders as well.
And we're all very interested in what it is to be a journalist there now. I mean, it must be quite chaotic, right? There's a lot of press from all over the world there. What's the atmosphere like? Are there loads of journalists everywhere?
I mean, there are. They're also about to leave the country. And I think the next big story is in the Gambia because, I mean, now everyone is going back. Barrow most probably will go back this week. So it's quite interesting. I think lots of journalists are making their way to Gambia, which now is safer considering the fact that Jammeh is gone. And so they want to probably follow up and see, you know, how the country is now. Yes, I mean, it is quite hectic. People are willing to talk. And this is also very beautiful because you notice how all these, you know, refugees, even young, very young people, still students, have a deep understanding of the dynamics of the country and of the relations between Senegal and Gambia. And everyone has strong opinions. Everyone is hopeful, but they're also very much aware that it is a long way to go to achieve a new Gambia, as they say.
And what's the kind of challenges as a reporter working in West Africa? Are there any specific challenges? I mean, you've worked in other countries, but in Africa, but are there any specific to this story?
I would say, well, stories are time sensitive, obviously. I would say the only thing at the moment is, you know, the fact that you might have to wait a long time, especially, you know, when you want to talk to officials, and especially in this case, when it comes to Barrow, he's very busy at the moment, and he's sorting out so many things before he's able to go back to Gambia. So it's difficult to get hold of them and, you know, to try and get an interview and try to get statements. I would say at the moment, this is the most challenging thing.
And so you were going to pass us over to Sane because he was going to tell us a story about why he left Gambia in the first place, which is fascinating. You're working with Sane at the moment. So is he around?
Yes, he's here.
Thanks very much, Ludo.
Hello?
Hi, Sane. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. We're really interested to kind of hear your perspective on this, because of course you are from the Gambia, but you left how many years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. So, I mean, if you could just tell us what it was that made it necessary for you to leave.
Yeah, thank you again. I left the Gambia in November 2014 after I was acquitted and discharged by a court. I was arrested and charged with publication of false news, with intent to cause fear and alarm to the public by the former regime of President Yahya Jammeh. I am one of those remaining critical journalists, independent journalists of the Gambia. I write a lot about politics. I also write about human rights violations that the regime has been doing since they came to power in 1994. So based on my work as an independent journalist, I was a target of intimidation and harassment by the state until December 2013, when I covered a political rally by the former opposition leader, who is now probably will be in Barrow's government, lawyer Usainu Dabo. At the said political rally, some youth supporters of the ruling party, now the opposition, I would say, of former leader Jammeh, defected. So I wrote that story and published it in our independent newspaper called The Voice. I was arrested with my editor for weeks and then taken to court and charged. So basically, I went to the court for 11 months. During the process, the prosecution called in witnesses. And then later, my counsel, who was my attorney, filed a no-case to answer submission. And I was eventually free by the court because the court said there was no enough evidence to secure my my conviction.
Right.
And then the state was not happy about this. And then I was again a target. They wanted to arrest and appeal against my case. And then due to fear of my life, I escaped to Senegal. And secondly, too, the judge handling my case was also dismissed for acquitting me in the criminal trial the state accused me of. So basically, I'm not the first Gambian journalist who fled the Gambia. I fled with over 100 other journalists who, since 94, could not work in the Gambia because of the repressive media environment. Gambia is one of those countries with draconian media laws, including law on the sedition, law on defamation, criminal libel. And these are charges which could, which could in fact be civil. But in Gambia, these are criminal charges, you know. So this is the media situation. And we hope and pray that the incoming government, which permits for press freedom, freedom of the media, that will be guaranteed. We hope and pray that the new government will ensure that journalists are protected and right to information is available at all costs.
And tell me, you must have been watching the elections. Were you surprised when Barrow won?
Yes, I have been monitoring the elections. I covered the election. I spent a lot of sleepless nights because I have thousands of followers on Facebook who look up to me for information. So I keenly monitor everything that is going in the Gambia from pre to post electoral crisis that we're still witnessing. So basically, it was not an easy job. There was an instance when the former president had to shut down the internet gateway because he feel that doing that will make him control free flow of information. So then that was one of my challenging moments to work as a journalist, and people, thousands in their numbers, were all glued on my Facebook to hear what I will write about what was going in the Gambia then. So basically, it was not an easy task, but we were able to bypass the government and provide people with timely information that has positive impact on their livelihood and help to save our democratic credentials.
So tell me, when you finally return to Gambia, how will that feel? I mean, you've been away for 2 years. So, I mean, you must be excited.
The feeling, still I'm feeling very emotional. Since Barrow was declared winner on December 2nd, and then Jammeh, after 1 week, rejected it. You know, I received a lot of calls, emotional calls. When are you returning home? When are you coming? And still, when Jammeh left, the people keep texting me on social media. Calls are coming. When are you returning? We miss you. We want to see you back in the country. Because one of the success stories about me that I would tell you is that since I came into exile here, I have adjusted myself to the current challenges that I face. And I was able to build my capacity, become a very strong journalist who will do everything to ensure that the information that Gambians need, that was restricted by the former regime, you know, is open up while I was in Dakar here. So basically, I was doing all I can to ensure that people in the Gambia are informed about what is happening there, because the media, the local press, they are not to cover certain critical stories because of fear of going to jail, fear of being killed, or fear of, you know, going to exile. So basically, that was what I was doing here. And it will be very emotional after 2 years going home, meeting my mom, you know, meeting my brothers, meeting my comrades. You know, it will be a very, very emotional day, but it's something that I am prepared for, and I hope everything goes well. President Barrow is likely to be home these days. We cannot tell you actually which day he will be, but likely it might be tomorrow. It can be Wednesday, because the ECOWAS forces have to do security clear-up, because they believe that there are still some hidden weapons that are not known to the incoming government. And President Jammeh attempt to undermine his regime. So these are all security steps the government is taking with ECOWAS and international partners to ensure that President Barrow return home and start work.
So, Sonny, my last question, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get back to your homeland?
No, I just need to get married. I get myself a wife. Still, I haven't got a wife. So that was something that a lot of them are waiting. When I get back home in New Gambia, I will get myself a wife, and if possible, I will establish my own media house and then, you know, start from there to keep, because journalism is something that I love and nothing will separate me from this profession.
Well, best of luck with that, Sanae, and thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
So that's the situation on the ground in the Gambia. You can check out Ludovica's articles on ibtimes.co.uk. And if you're listening on Acast, we've included rich links to some of them. Next week, we're talking to Julie Bindle, who's written a new book about the global sex trade. Until then, take care.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.